Good morning. This is Humanity Meets Business, Business Therapy with Christine Salvo. So excited to introduce my guest today, Liz Merrill. She is a mediator and a divorce coach with a specialization in high conflict and narcissistic relationships. She's helped hundreds of people in crisis find solutions so they can reduce anxiety and move on with their lives. Now, I cannot tell you how many people
yes,
I interact with on even not daily, but I would say weekly, that I mean, this is real life struggle stuff. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. You know, we use the word divorce and, you know, 50%, 75%, we have all these statistics, but the emotional content of a divorce has not gotten easier. It's just, you know, no. I just think it's this word and it's kind of normalized, but really the process of it is, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to dig into this with you. So first and foremost,
excellent.
How did you become a divorce coach? Like, I didn't even know this was a career. Let's talk.
Yeah.
Let's start
yeah,
there.
Yeah. 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 So, well, the way that I became a divorce coach was, I have been a divorce mediator for a while. And I get people calling me who need mediation for their divorce. A lot of times, especially here in Colorado, the court requires couples who are getting divorced to also have mediation, especially if they have children. So I'll get calls from people who are like, the judge said I have to mediate. Can you mediate? And that's sort of like a one and done kind of deal. And then you fill out the report of mediation and they take it to their attorneys are there, or they take it to court or whatever, or they have agreed on something or they haven't, but they've fulfilled their obligation to the court. Sometimes I get people who say, we don't want to hire attorneys. We want to be collaborative. We want to save money. Can you help us walk through the process? And I'm like, yes, I love to do that. I think it's a really, it can be like a really rich, rewarding, much less expensive, much less painful, much less contentious way to go through divorce. And so a lot, I work with couples who are going through that, and, you know, I help them identify other resources and other professionals they might need to involve and help keep them out of court. But sometimes I get phone calls from people who are like, I think I want a divorce. I think I want mediation for my divorce. And then the more they start talking, the more I realize, A, they might not be candidates for mediation for their divorce. And B, they might not be candidates because they're in emotionally abusive relationships. And what they need is support individually to help them with the emotional piece, to help them with disengaging, to help them navigate and sort of collaborate with, you know, like an attorney. If people are in an emotionally abusive relationship, and I recognize that, I'll usually suggest that they at least talk to an attorney, because high conflict divorces can be so much more challenging and so much more difficult. And often, you know, a party needs that sort of strong representation that a good attorney can bring, hopefully without also exacerbating a high conflict person. So I started getting trained in divorce coaching because I saw the need, you know? And so I do that now, and my business is sort of 50-50. I really love helping anybody, whether it's an individual or a couple who are going through divorce, because I want them to avoid the kind of divorce that I had, which was really challenging. It was very high conflict. It was really expensive. It really made a bad relationship a lot worse. And when I finally got through it, I was like, this should not be this way. There's no reason for this to have gone that badly. And I, you know, I have to say, I had an attorney, and I was glad I had an attorney. I had a mediator, was not a fan of this mediator. And it just became a real passion of mine, because it involves a lot of things that are really important to me, like relationships, like communication, like conflict resolution, mm-hmm. just really, and of course I'm a parent. I have three teenage daughters, and I saw how negatively the divorce process impacted them. And I didn't, you know, I didn't think that the court did us any favors. I don't think that the attorneys did us any favors. I feel like if parties who are going through an already crummy situation can work with somebody who's compassionate and understanding and who has been there and who can help them have difficult conversations without escalating emotions, they're going to be in a better place to co-parent moving forward once their divorce is finalized, and hopefully stay out of court post-divorce.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think, you know, I'm also a mediator. And, you know, my heart's in it because we're, you know, my philosophy, or at least my experience being a therapist and a mediator, is we're not really taught about conflict. Yet, conflict is actually inevitable. It's part of who we are. It's part of our relationship structure. It's part of what happens, you know, in just about every area of our life. But yet, where's the tools? Where's the class? Even if it's a 2-week thing at the school, like in health, why are we not talking about conflict? Because as you mentioned before, first of all, we're unskilled. Second of all, if we don't understand conflict in ourselves, we're not gonna understand it with other people.
Yep.
Conflict will be messy. And, you know, I love hearing people say, like, I don't think that they would act that way with me. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, you know, maybe they wouldn't in a normal circumstance, but unfortunately, this kind of high stress situation, and let's be real, when we're talking about money, money's emotional.
It's
gonna start to show different things, and not just our children, right? That's emotional as well. But really what I tend to find with parents that I'm doing mediations with in child custody cases is time and money. Everything else is like, sure, you know, you could take them to church if you want. And you could take them, sure, I could be flexible here. But once we start talking about time and money, that's when the dukes come up.
Absolutely. And they're interconnected, right? Like, so when a family is getting divorced, when a couple is getting divorced, a lot, and this is like a sort of a cautionary piece that I try to make sure people understand, is you might have all the best intentions in the world when you start off on your divorce process, but as you go through it, you're going to get bad advice from friends or family or attorneys. You're going to hear everybody's sad divorce story, and you're going to have people warning you and exacerbating your fear and your anger. And then when it comes time to talk about parenting time and number of overnights and how that intersects with child support, you know, people start really, really getting escalated, really concerned about, you know, and afraid about their financial landscape moving forward, and who the kids are going to like most and where the kids are going to be. And it really, that's the point where I start seeing people really get really anxious and really upset and like really tempted to like run out and call an attorney and lawyer up, and then, you know, then you're off to the races in terms of, you know, how much money you're going to spend, how long it's going to take, how contentious it's going to be. So,
well, not only those aspects, but what I really kind of find too is once, and nothing against lawyering up, I want to make sure I'm clear.
No. But absolutely.
It's really this idea that once I hire you, you're available to me. And I tend to find people that they often get very frustrated with that step too. Well, what does your attorney say? Well, I haven't been able to get a hold of anybody in 2 weeks. Or, you know, they don't really know my case. They just kind of reviewed it 15 minutes before court here. You know, they're reading the file as I'm looking at them. And then now the stress is in my belly, like, oh, come on, you know. And fortunately and unfortunately, right? So professionals, we're busy. You know, we're busy. If you're an attorney, you're probably not going to really have that kind of sense of quality time. You're going to assess the case, see what comes next, and then deal with it. In mediation, one of my favorite parts is that is we have the time, you know, we just do. It's just so different. And I love telling my clients that, of like, hey, as long as it's legal and you agree on it, we can probably do it.
Yeah.
But once you, and I'm like, I'm willing to have this negotiation. Hey, this is yours. This is your plan. This is your conflict resolution. This is you. But once it gets to court, the attorneys nor the judges have the time to hear the details.
Yeah. And you're going to, you know, I used to to mediate for a court here in Fort Collins. And every time I would go in and I would listen to the magistrate give his spiel, you know, he always said, you're better off going out into the hallway and trying to sort this out with a mediator, because chances are at least 50% of you are going to leave if I have to make your decision for you, feeling like you got gypped. Yeah. And more likely than not, both of you are going to leave feeling like you got the short end of the stick, because that's just the way it goes. And if you mediate, then you're the architect of your resolution. And there's a higher compliance rate because people craft them themselves according to, you know, what they feel they can deal with. And it doesn't matter what an attorney or a judge thinks. It's like you said, it's the life that they have to live. And so it's better for them to be in charge of making those decisions for themselves and for their kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really curious, you know, just even the word narcissist kind of makes most people cringe and want to run.
Yeah.
And yeah. you're like, hey, bring it. So I have to know how that came about and how, you know, it's already a difficult environment, right? Mediation, dealing mm-hmm. with high conflict, but you really specialize in it. So I'd love to hear kind of the story and why.
Sure. In part because I've had experience, like personal experience with people who are, I'm using air quotes, but you can't see it, high conflict, right? Because a lot of times people who have personality disorders do not have a diagnosis, right? If they're a narcissist, sort of by definition, they don't think there's anything wrong with them. They're not inclined to march up to a therapist and go, hey, am I a narcissist? Can you please diagnose me? They're not going to do that, right? Mm-hmm. The percentage of people who are actually diagnosed with NPD is really quite low, but there's a growing number of those people in a lot of studies. There's a growing number of people with subclinical tendencies of narcissism and other personality disorders. And really, like when somebody is coming to me because they're trying to extricate themselves from a marriage to a high conflict person, regardless of what their diagnosis is or isn't, or, you know, what kind of combination of diagnoses or, you know, coexisting issues they have, they need a specialized kind of support that they don't always get in the court system. And it's something that I experienced and I see often, and it's an area where I feel like people really often need support that they're not getting. Attorneys aren't therapists, right? Judges aren't either, and they don't always have the time or the bandwidth or the interest really in learning about what that kind of dynamic involves and behavior patterns of people who are high conflict and how that plays out. And I'm, you know, anyone who's been in family law for any length of time sees it regularly, but that doesn't mean that's the sort of focus of their practice. And so I thought, you know, this was a opportunity for me to sort of get in there and help people have conversations, have difficult conversations. People who, you know, people who are high conflict, they have a really hard time with discomfort, and they can have dysregulated emotions, and they can have all or nothing thinking, and they can get really defensive, and then things don't go well for them because people are getting upset, and then it doesn't go well for the party that they're divorcing. So Yeah, I don't know why I enjoy doing it, because I'm like most people. I don't like conflict. I don't like it in my own life. I don't like having, uncomfortable relationships. But it's something that I really like helping people out with. Yeah. And I really find it fascinating. I love studying it. And if I could go back in time, I would probably go back and get a degree as a counselor, because I just find it so interesting.
I you know, sometimes the work picks you. You don't pick the work.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one of my kind of famous things that I'll come into a mediation with is I'll pretend I'm rolling up my sleeves and I'll say, all right, let's get dirty.
Yeah.
I'm in here with you. I'm in the ring, let's get in there. And, usually people laugh and I'm like, no, really though, because conflict is messy. And when we don't have the proper skills or knowledge or, like you said, coaching, support, it can really make things harder. And I really loved how you kind of painted this picture of other people projecting their stories, the bad things that happened to them, and creating kind of this high fear, mm-hmm. which you're already in a difficult position. And now you're afraid, feeling mm-hmm. vulnerable. So of course your defenses is up. And so if we have two defensive people, nothing's getting through. But I want to make sure, because, not everybody listening, we're both mediators, so we can kind of have this language, but not everybody listening has that. And maybe they are going through a divorce or considering a divorce. How would you actually describe a high conflict person? So how would you know if you're in a relationship with someone that you would consider high conflict?
So that's a really great question. High conflict people, again, it's really more of a description of a type of behavior and not necessarily a diagnosis. But there are indications of high conflict if you have a person who, for example, uses threats a lot or makes declarations of severe outcomes, like you're never gonna see your kids again, or I'm never gonna give you any money. Or if they're, threatening to withdraw financial support, if they, refuse to communicate, if they harass you a lot of times I see, and you probably see this too, people who are being stalked, cyber stalked, right, by somebody, or if they're just really being, if they're projecting onto you things that they are guilty of, right? High conflict people tend to have all or nothing thinking. They tend to think in black and white. They can catastrophize things. What else? They generally speaking are sort of characterized by being very emotional, having unpredictable thinking or behavior, being very dramatic. And of course, high conflict people often also can have traits of different kinds of personality disorders. And the personality disorders that are most commonly associated with high conflict people are narcissistic, borderline, antisocial, and histrionic personality disorders. And sometimes there's a combination of all of them there. When you have a high conflict person who's going through divorce, the adversarial nature of divorce really exacerbates often a lot of the root causes that cause people to be high conflict, like fear of abandonment.
Yeah.
Is a big one. So that really like kind of puts a fire under that part of the way that they present themselves, right? And the way that they behave. And I'm sure you see this, and anyone who's been in family law for a while sees that high conflict people also have patterns of behavior, especially in court. And so you might see similar things over and over again in different people. It's almost like they have a playbook that they all read out of, right? so.
It's so funny you say that, because I'll often recommend, books, right? Like, here's some further reading on this topic if you're interested to my clients. And the, you know, I'll send out these books and they'll be reading them and I'll come back and I'll be like, how's that book going? And they're like, how does this person I've never met know my life? And it's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, pretty weird that it's kind of this patterned behavior. Nobody knows each other, but it's really interesting stuff. Like that's for another day. Cause I mean, we could just mm-hmm. kind of go off on that, but it's like, if you can read a book, then it's probably more common than you think. So what I have to kind of know next, because I think those are really awesome descriptors and it'd be pretty easy to be like, yep, yep, yep. So mm-hmm. being a specialist in this, you know, if somebody's listening right now and they're like, that's me and that's them, what can they do? You know, what are some things that they can start doing now? Or what would you suggest or recommend for someone in that situation? Because it can feel like you're backed into a corner no matter what. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think obviously one of the first things to do is to make sure you have a support system, right? A lot of times when people are in abusive relationships, they are separated from their support systems. They might like be systematically separated from or discouraged from having friends or being close to their family or even getting support. And I think that's one of the ways that COVID has really harmed families is when there is domestic violence or when there's abuse, regardless of whether or not it's physical, it could be emotional or financial or, you know, digital abuse. It's a lot harder for the person to get out of the house, right? If they're stuck at home and in quarantine, and to get out to get support somewhere else. But having a support system is really important. Friends, family, a therapist, you know, it can really, really be helpful. There are support groups all over the place. Most of them are online now. So support groups that specialize in narcissistic abuse. There's so, as you said at the beginning, it's kind of a buzzword, and a lot of people conflate narcissism with a lot of other kinds of behavior patterns. But there's so much content out there, right? There are podcasts and books and YouTube channels and just endless amounts of pithy aphorisms about the narcissist and how to deal with gaslighting and stuff. There's a lot of that out there. I would caution people from getting too far down that rabbit hole because it can be kind of triggering. And a lot of times, like I'm in a lot of groups, Facebook groups that deal with this. And I think a lot of times there's a lot of trauma dumping, which is a word that I'm not sure how I feel about it, but, you know, where people just continue telling their story and are so identified with it to the point where sometimes it, I think it's not healthy for necessarily for people to continue reviewing it or reading it, right? Because the way to separate yourself from that is, I think, sort of by disengaging in a lot of ways, so disengaging from behavior, disengaging from yourself and your reactions, and finding ways to kind of stop that conflict cycle in your relationship and in your mind. And to that end, I think there are a lot of somatic exercises that people can do that can really help calm their nervous systems and help them sort of disengage and get to a point where they can put their, you know, their wise mind back online, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yes.
There's so many good books out there. There's a guy you probably know named Bill Eddy, Eddy. He's written a book called Splitting that's specifically about divorcing high conflict people. He wrote another one called High Conflict People and Legal Disputes. He's the founder of the High Conflict Institute, and he teaches and lectures regularly on how to deal with high conflict people. And he has words for mediators too, and how mediators and other professionals who are helping couples get divorced help manage high conflict behaviors and help de-escalate emotions when they start getting huge. One of the things that he talks about is using empathy, attention, and respect. The and you remember it by ear, E-A-R, right? And so if somebody is in an escalated emotional state, using empathy, attention, and respect can help them sort of de-escalate so they can start using their critical part of their mind, their left brain, I think it's the left brain, right? To start problem solving rather than just being in this like hot emotional reactive state. So I really like his work a lot. Marshall Rosenberg sort of crafted this nonviolent communication model that a lot of people use.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, people like Tina Swiffen, who's sort of the founder of One Mom's Battle and has written extensively about divorcing and narcissism and all of that. She's got a lot of good content out there. There are a lot of really great people out there who are doing amazing work and who are offering actionable ideas and solutions and paths forward for people who are trying to work through it. Because like I said earlier, there are lots of studies that show that it actually is on the rise, narcissism, NPD, personality traits. It seems to be on the rise culturally, and you can see it, you know, in all different aspects of our society, from, you know, the top levels of politics down to, you know, the kid in the corner taking selfies with her iPhone.
right. Yeah.
So it's a buzzword, but it's also like, it really is on the rise. At least a lot of studies are showing that. So it's worth learning about and learning how to recognize and learning how to help. And I think a lot of times people tend to cast people who are high conflict personalities in the role of the devil, right? And sometimes their behavior can seem really, really evil and inexplicable and so mean. But when you think about, first of all, that doesn't help if you're trying to divorce them. You need to kind of be able to have a conversation with them so that you can move past the conflict, hopefully, and get away. And that requires professionals who are able to do that and able to kind of recognize things and have some skills to kind of maneuver around some of those behaviors. But a lot of times people who have personality disorders, you know, I mean, that comes from trauma or attachment problems from early childhood, and a lot of times people who have them don't know they have them, and they don't know how to get past them, and you know, it's sad.
And I would add to that, Liz, that, you know, if you're going through divorce, either side, it's best case scenario that you're both in therapy, that you're both having some support, that you're both having kind of that mirror of someone, you know. Often I'll have a couple come in for therapy and I'll say, am I helping you stay married or am I helping you separate? And I'm okay with either one, just let me know.
Yeah.
And not even as a mediator, as a therapist, right? And they get to tell me and I say, okay, you know, let's say they say we're staying together. They say, at any time during this process, if that changes, just let me know and we'll transition. Because you both deserve support both ways.
Absolutely.
Whether you want to keep it together or whether it's time to separate. So Liz, for our listeners, maybe you struck a chord with someone or they want to know more, or they want to work with you. Where could they find you?
They can Google Open Space Mediation. That's the name of my little company. And they'll find my website, openspacemediation.com. They can type that into the search bar in Facebook or on Instagram or on LinkedIn. And once you're there, there are all different kinds of ways of contacting me. There's my email address and my phone number and contact forms and links to my calendar. I love having people reach out to me. And even if we don't work together, hearing their stories, learning what their pain points are, learning what's important to them, maybe providing them resources outside of my purview. Well, as I keep saying, I think that people need a lot of support from a lot of different kinds of people.
Well, thank you so much for doing what you do. I mean, you've jumped into the boiling water and it seems like you're very comfortable there. And as you said, again, yeah, This is a time where people need support. And I'm even loving just the emergence of this new kind of career path for people being divorce coaches. Like, yes, duh. Why wasn't that around? You know, like, yeah,
I know.
That makes total sense. And so,
yeah.
So that's very cool. So thank you for being on the show. It's been wonderful. Awesome talk today. This has been Humanity Meets Business, Business Therapy with Christine Savo, licensed marriage and family therapist, advanced certified mediator, and master NLP and hypnosis practitioner. Thank you so much for listening and have a wonderful day.